Connie Jacobs, and I come from Pierce, South Dakota. And I teach in a school in Pierce, South Dakota that is a boarding private school. It's called the Pierce Indian Learning Center. All of our children there are children from families that are dysfunctional or they have been court ordered. We do have a few that come in with parents or so on that are just there because their parents are working there. But most of them are court ordered there. They range in age between 5 and 16, so we go through the 8th grade. And you end up getting stories that just want to, they rip you apart. And at the same time, things that come up and come out of those children. I told this one boy, now he's graduated, his name was Ori. And I said, I've got an Ori book. And I do kind of have an Ori sayings at home, because Ori is one of these children that's not real intelligent, but super inquisitive, wanting to know everything and coming up with fantastic questions. And my feeling working there, and I think it works with children as well as adults, stories are so often held so close and so dear that they're held sometimes so close that a person can't stop talking. They want to talk and talk and tell their story. Some of them hold them so close and so dear they cannot speak. And yet the speaking is the healing, and the speaking is the part that makes it easier for the children and for adults. We all need to learn to speak and share our stories that mean a lot to us, that may cause pain, and yet share them. Because others have stories that can help you, and you can help them. You know how awful it is when all of a sudden you say, oh, I broke my leg and now I can't walk and I'm not going to be able to ski, and somebody else comes over to you and says, I had a heart attack last week and now I have to have open heart surgery. Somebody's always got it worse, and the stories and the sharing make it all so it's more bearable to us. Back to my friend Ori, who I really would like to take home. Many of them I'd like to take home. But Ori was an older boy, and the principal even came and talked to me and says, you know, I don't think Ori should be hugging you as much as he does. And I said, if Ori wants to hug me, I don't care. And he says, yeah, but it might just be because of your body. And I said, well, if that's all it is, it doesn't matter to me, because there's not a whole bunch there anyway. But Ori would, every day, would come down the hall, put his head on my shoulder and just say, Jacobs, good morning. It was always Jacobs. It was never Mrs. Jacobs. But, and he'd hug me, or he'd get mad. They also will get very angry, and if the person they like the best is often the one they take it out on the most. But Ori is also the one that would get angry at others. He could mistreat me, but nobody else can mistreat me. I had an eye infection last fall, and my eye swelled up, and it got kind of matted, and it wasn't pink eye, and it wasn't contagious, so I thought, I'll keep going to school. And it did look pretty bad. And of course, Ori had to find out all the time about my eye. How's your eye? Is your eye okay? I'd say, yeah, it's just an infection. I'll get medicine in it. One day, this Kevin, who also needs attention, and his idea of attention was entirely different. Ori's would be he'd come up and hug. Kevin's would be he'd come up to me in the morning and say, hi, Jacob, and wham me on the shoulder. Or he might come up and stomp on my toe. Not hard enough to really hurt. But he wanted attention. And that was his way of getting attention. Now, Kevin stands about 6'1" and weighs close to 210 pounds. Ori stands about 5'7", and I suppose he's about 150. And here's Kevin. He came up and he says, morning, Jacobs. And I said, Kevin. And I just kind of, because he does hit harder than he should. And I moved back, and Ori saw him and came over and said, don't hit her. Kevin looked at him and said, I can too. He says, don't hit her. Can't you tell somebody already hit her in the eye? And I said, Ori, I didn't get hit in the eye. I said, it's an infection. Yeah, sure. It's what they all say. And walked down the hall. And here's a story. Because if you know some of the background of Ori's family and the beatings and the things that do take place in his family, he never believed me in the first place. That I had an eye infection. Another day, Ori came over, and I was sitting there correcting papers. He's always coming in, and he'll bug you if you don't immediately notice him. And I'm just sitting correcting and writing, and he comes up to me. He says, Jacobs,
who can run for president? And I said, what do you mean? He says, can I run for president? I said, well, I think so, Ori. He says, well, he's any rules? I said, well, I don't think so for president. I said, for a senator and so on, you have to be a certain age. But I don't even think they put an age down for president. He says, well, how far do they have to run? And I said, what? He says, how many miles? And so the whole thing, here's this eighth grade boy, the whole thing on running for president hasn't quite sunken in. And it's just interesting comments like this. Those of you that have counties, most of us have counties. We live in Hughes County. Somebody else lives in Brown County. Well, he'd just come out of social studies class, and I says, oh, God, we have a test tomorrow, and I forget which arm I live in. I said, what? He says, the arm. I said, what's an arm? He says, well, the arm that I live in. Like she lives in Bonham County, what arm do I live in? The arm, not the county. So it was the arm that made sense to him. But this is the type of children that I work with, and a lot of the stories that you hear in here are stories that I will use with them, because as I say, their ages that I work with are the 6th, 7th, and 8th, which means 12 through 16. Here's another one. It's kind of fun. All these things you can take and use and with usually adults and children. This is the story of Tommy. We'll put that for Tommy. And Sally. And we'll put S for Sally. Now, Tommy lived over here, and one day he decided, I'm going to build myself a house. I think I'll make a house with just a little square house with all four walls. So he built himself a house. And he put in his walls, and he put in his floor. And then he thought, my house needs some windows. So he put in his windows. And he looked at his house and he thought, can't get in my house. Better put in a door. So Tommy put a door right in the middle of his house. And then he looked at his house and thought it looked pretty good. No, gotta have a step on my door. So he put in the step. And then he decided to plant a few bushes by his door. And then he looked at his house and he thought it was all done and thought, I'm going to get cold in the wintertime. So he put in a fireplace in his bedroom and in his living room. And Tommy looked at his house and he thought, that's a wonderful house. I'm going to go get Sally. I'm going to show Sally, my girlfriend, my house. So he went running over to Sally's house and he said, Sally, you've got to come and see my wonderful house. And Sally said, okay, but first let's go down to the basement. I'm hungry. I want to take some apples to your house and we'll eat them on the way. So Sally and Tommy went down in the basement and got some apples. And then they came back upstairs again and decided to walk to Tommy's house. And boom, they stepped in a mud puddle. And they had to crawl back out of that mud puddle. And they walked just a little bit further, and they stepped in another mud puddle. And they crawled back out of the mud puddle and went up and went to the step on Tommy's house. And Sally says, oh, I won't go in there. You have a black cat in your house. It's just, stories come in, as I say, for teaching constantly, and I really enjoy them. This one, my nephew, who was raised a Lutheran and then decided to become a Catholic priest, and then after being in the seminary to become a Catholic priest and taking all of the Latin, advanced Latin, decided, I don't want to be a Catholic priest because they probably won't okay marriage before I die. And he decided, he doesn't even have a girlfriend, but he has decided he does want to get married someday. So now he's not going to, I don't know what he's going to do now. But he sent this to me and he said, I think you should have this, and I think it's just wonderful. Now this is a story. This is called Grandparents Writing a Letter to Their Grandson. Dear grandson, we're writing this slow
Because we know you can't read fast. We don't live where we did when you left. We read in the paper where most accidents happen within 20 miles of home. So we moved. This place has a washing machine. First day I put 4 shirts in it, I pulled the chain, and I haven't seen them since. It only rained twice this week. 3 days the first time, 4 days the second time. The coat you wanted me to send you, your Aunt Sue said that it would be, well, a little too heavy to send in the mail with those big buttons. So we cut them off and put them in the pockets. Got a bill from the funeral home saying if we didn't make the last payment on Great Grandma's funeral bill, up she comes. Your Uncle John, he fell in the whiskey vat. Some men tried to pull him out, but he fought them off playfully, and he drowned. We cremated him, burned for 3 days. 3 of your friends, well, they went off the bridge in their pickup truck. One was driving, the other 2 were in the back. Driver got out okay. He rolled down the window and swam to safety. Those other 2 drowned. They couldn't get the tailgate down. Not much more news this time. Nothing much happening. We'll write more later. Love, Grandma and Grandpa, your grandparents. P.S. We were going to send you some money, but we already had this sealed. And that's one that I like. Another thing that I use in teaching is rap music. Personally, I hate rap music. But I have students that love rap music. And I have a rap machine, but it was too big to get into all my bags. The one I use when I introduce pronouns, I'll do it with verbs, with pronouns, with anything, if I can fit it all in. And this particular one, I'll have this on the board as the children come in and tell them that we're going to be working on pronouns today. And I'll just make mention that these are nominative, these are objective, and these are possessive. And that's as far as I'll go at that point. And then I'll go into the... This kind of works, but it's not the good rap beat that we kind of like. Whoops. My husband says I always do this too fast, so I'm going to slow it down. But that's not really good rap. If you like rap music, that's fine with me, because I'm going to teach you grammar with rap, you see. Pronouns are the subject of the lesson today, and we use them all the time in what we say. They take the place of common and proper nouns. Hey, don't look at me with one of your frowns. Last year you learned the difference between proper and common, but now we're into pronouns, so listen to me, son. I, you, he, she, it, we, and they are nominative pronouns, and we use them every day. Them, us, it, her, him, you, and me are objective pronouns, and easy you see. Mine, yours, it's, our, there, is, his. His and her are possessive pronouns, and selfish for sure. Who, whom, whose are pronouns too, and we need them to ask questions like, you want to talk to who? Now you know your pronouns that you use every day, and on this worksheet, I expect an A. But that's what I'll... You just write them. They're fun to write, and they're easy to write, because they have this absolute definite beat. This morning, I was just sitting there thinking, and You notice I have this little red spot on the side of my nose. I mean, I'm a little late to get adolescent pimples, but it's one of these things that a person starts thinking of. I hate this. It's a simple pimple. It's a single zit, and it makes tracks on your face, and you don't like it. You squeeze, and you squeeze, and you make it red, so you go to sick, and you get all sick, and you go to bed. But you can just take anything. She sits and colors, and she loves to draw, and she's my daughter, and she's best of all. And you go just right up. And the minute you start just using somebody in the classroom, the children love it, the people love it, because it's bringing them all in. And this is where I'll use the rap music, and then the rap machine also has a scratcher, and then they can come up. If they get something written, it only has to be two lines, then they can come up and take the rap machine into this little room where two or three or four can work. That's probably the max. And they really kind of enjoy things like that, and I do too. I have fun with it. Now, to switch this one I rewrote. You should recognize the tune. I'll go through it once, and then I'm going to hand it to you because I have one help. This is for all of our wonderful retirees and how great it is getting older in our society. Star to get here. States of 65, our golden years are here. They tell us that the age begins a happy new career. For now our Uncle Sam becomes a permanent cashier. As we go marching, 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 bravely marching on. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We still go bravely, bravely, bravely marching on. I'm a little off there. And then that's between each verse. You're going to have to go through it and help me with this. Singing voice, as you may have noticed, but it's fun to do anyway. Here, we've still got some contracts. Got lots over there?
Yep.
Okay.
Can you write this?
I took it. I had seen it in. They had done it to glory, glory, hallelujah. I shouldn't even say that; it mixes you up. But I had to rewrite it for Jingle Bells because my little thing plays Jingle Bells. So I rewrote it and redid it. Okay, the first part, and then that's between the verses, but you'll get this first part too.
Reach the age of 65. Begins a happy new career. For now our Uncle Sam becomes a permanent cashier. As we go marching, 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 really marching on. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We still go bravely, bravely marching on.
No walk there.
Sometimes just a cent, but we go bravely, 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 bravely marching on. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We still bravely, bravely, bravely marching on.
As for checks from Medicare, will someone tell us how? They always find some doctor bills they sadly disallow. And dental process, well, we know they wholly disavow. But we go bravely, 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 bravely marching on. Glory, 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 hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
right, right. But that's the song.
We did well.
There's not quite enough time between the verses and the choir, and you can't slow this particular one down. You can the other stuff. You can't slow that one down. But it worked well when I was all by myself and sitting with it on my lap. How many of you have read Ramona the Pest by Beverly Clary? Wonderful, wonderful stories. She's one of our younger children at our school's favorite authors. Ramona the Pest, this is just from the first chapter, on the first day of kindergarten. It's the first day of kindergarten, and I get to go. I don't know whether I want to. I probably won't like it very much. But I'm going to go anyway because Mom says I have to. That's my new teacher. Her name's Miss Binney. They say she's brand new. That means she didn't just be born. That means being brand new means it's first time in our school. She's kind of pretty. Wonder if she knows what she's doing. Oh, she's coming over. Well, hello, Ramona. She really kind of talks slow. How are you, Ramona? Would you sit over here for the present? Oh, I'm going to like kindergarten. She's going to give me a present.
Oh,
this is going to be good. I wonder if she gave my big sister a present. I wonder if she got a present on her first day of kindergarten. This is going to be fun. There's more kids coming. She's greeting them. That boy's name is Howie. She just told him to sit over there. She didn't tell him she was going to give him a present. There's another boy. Oh, I like him. He looks cute. He's small. His name's Joey. He wears short pants. You know what? I think I'll kiss him later. She didn't tell him he was going to get a present either. I bet she likes me best. Oh, look at her hair. Oh, her name's Susan. Oh, I like her hair. It's red. Her hair is all red and it goes boing, 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 boing. It's those funny curls that look like, well, they look like my daddy's springs. They just boing, boing. I really like, what? No. The teacher said she was going to give me a present. I'm not going to get up. Huey wants me to get up. I'm not going to get up. I'm just going to sit here, she said, to sit here for the present. Oh, I like her. Oh, the teacher's talking again. Now, children, this is your first day of kindergarten. I'm going to show you where the bathrooms are, because bathrooms are an important place to know. When it's your turn to go to the bathroom, or if it's necessary to go to the bathroom, when it's not your turn, just come up here and put a little check by your name. Now, you will learn where your name is according to your symbols. Down here we have the symbols, and here is your name, if you don't yet know how to spell it. Ramona, you're the little ducky. The ducky means that Ramona's coat room also has a ducky on it. And Ramona, when you want to go to the bathroom, put a check by your name with the ducky. And she goes down the rest of the names. Okay, children, now we'll go out to the cloakroom. You'll see where you hang your coats, and wherever the little ducky is, that's where we're going to hang the coats. Come on, children. And they all follow out of the room. Ramona, are you coming?
I can't.
Well, okay. And she takes the children out of the room, shows them the cloakroom, brings them back in, and they all sit down. Huey sits right beside Ramona. Why didn't you get up?
Because I have to sit for my present.
How come you get a present?
I don't know. Teacher told me to sit for my present.
Why don't I get a present?
I don't know. I think she likes me best.
It didn't seem to sit too well with Holly. Pretty soon the teacher came back into the room and she said, "Children, every day we're going to be singing a song. And this is a very patriotic song. And I'll go through it a few times and then I would like you all to stand." About this time it buzzed around the classroom. Ramona gets a present if she sits in her chair. So they all knew that the teacher might like Ramona best. But they listened to their teacher anyway. And she was going to sing them this wonderful Dawn's Early Light song, a patriotic song. So she sang through Dawn's Early Light. Then she said, "Please, children, stand." Ramona didn't stand. Some of the other children didn't stand either. They were going to get a present too. The teacher looked around the room. "Children, you must be patriotic. We sing during Dawn's Early Light." Ramona thought, "What's a dawnser? I don't know what a dawnser is. It's probably a lamp. I wonder why dawnser is patriotic." But anyway, the teacher looked at all of the children one by one, and they all finally did stand except Ramona. "Ramona, I can't." "Okay, all sing together now." And they all sang. When they were done singing, they were allowed to sit down. She said, "Now, children, we're going to be reading a wonderful book. This story is a very interesting story, and I think you'll all enjoy it. Just listen as I read." And it was called "Mike Mulligan and His Wonderful Steam Shovel." And she begins reading about Mike Mulligan's steam shovel and how Mike Mulligan worked all day long digging a basement for the town hall. And Mike Mulligan never stopped. He started when the sun came up, and he didn't quit until the sun went down. It was a wonderful story. Ramona loved the story. I mean, it wasn't one of those stories. It was an exciting story. And when the teacher was done, she closed the book and looked around at the children and she said, "Are there any questions?" And Joey yelled out right away and said, "I like that story." And Ramona raised her hand. And the teacher looked at her and she says, "I like the way Ramona raises her hand. Ramona, how did Mike Mulligan go to the bathroom?" Miss Binney just looked at her. Ramona felt embarrassed. She looked around at the rest of the children. They looked interesting. They looked like they wanted to know how Mike Mulligan went to the bathroom. What was wrong with Miss Binney? I mean, first thing in the classroom she had said, "I'm going to show you where the bathroom is because it's important you all know where it is." And now she wanted to know about Mike Mulligan. And Miss Binney acted like it wasn't a good question. "Ramona, I don't think that's necessary." And all of a sudden, the rest of the children started talking. And Joey said, I know what he did. He stopped his steam shovel, he got off his steam shovel, went out of the hole, and went across to the gas station. And the rest of the children quickly agreed that was a good idea. Miss Binney looked around at the room and her face was getting redder all the time. Children, I don't think it's mentioned about how Mike Mulligan went to the bathroom because I don't think that's an important part of the story. If it would have been important, we would have heard how Mike Mulligan went to the bathroom. Now, we're going to have recess. We'll go out to recess and we'll play Gray Duck. And they go out the door. "Ramona, are you coming out?" "I can't." "Well, why can't you?" "I'm waiting for my present." "Ramona, what present?" "You said you were going to give me a present." Now the teacher's face was looking even more puzzled. "Ramona, I didn't say I was going to give you a present. What happened? You said sit here for the present." "Oh, Ramona, I didn't mean a present. I meant that sit here for the time being, for right now." "Well, why didn't you say for right now?" Ramona was upset.
She was now thinking of another word like attack. Attack. I suppose that means something else too. And she wanted attack so she could stick someone.
There's another one that I really enjoy. In fact, it's the story that kind of started me in storytelling. And a friend of mine, she's become a very close friend of mine, she's a professor and coordinator of adult studies in North Dakota, Mary Helen Pelton. And she's a wonderful storyteller who does a lot of stories for very young children, of course, too. In fact, most of hers are that. She does a lot with puppets, she's got a snake that she rolls up as a snake eats her all up. Remember, Shel Silverstein's, oh no, it's up to my knees, oh no, it's up to my neck. She's got the whole snake that flops over and eats her up. But this story she told at a convention we were at, and this is the one that got me involved in storytelling. It's called The Story of Timmy. Mrs. Wilson was going for her first day of school. She loved teaching school. She taught third grade, and she loved third grade. Every fall, she'd come into the room and go in from her room and check it out, and then go down to the office and pick up the list of the students for the next year. And she had her list in her room, and she was looking at it, going down the list. Timmy. They passed Timmy. How could they pass Timmy? I mean, Timmy couldn't even write his own name. Timmy smelled. He was stupid. The last few years he hadn't done anything. Oh, God, I got Timmy. Oh, well, I know. I'll just make sure he sits at the back of the room and doesn't bother anybody. The children came into the room. She greeted them all. Oh, Nancy, you sit here. Gregory, here. Alex, here. Jonathan, here. Ramona, you sit here. Andrew, here. And she kept going until she got to the back of the room. Timmy, you sit back there. And the year progressed. And Timmy sat at the back of the room. Christmas vacation came. Mrs. Wilson saw her children and said, "Children, it's Christmas vacation. I hope you all have a wonderful 2 weeks. I'll see you next year, and Merry Christmas." And the children filed out the door. Mrs. Wilson fixed her things at her desk and piled them up, and Timmy was still sitting back there. "Timmy, aren't you going home?" Timmy walked slowly to the front of the room until he was across from Mrs. Wilson and said, "Mrs. Wilson, I have a present for you." And he brought out a little box tied with a string and wrapped in brown paper wrapping. "Mrs. Wilson, I know it's not very much. It used to belong to my mother. And Mrs. Wilson, you smell so good, and you're so pretty, and you look like my mother." And he handed the box to Mrs. Wilson. "Merry Christmas, Mrs. Wilson." And Timmy went out the door. Mrs. Wilson stood and looked at this little box. She slowly opened it up and pulled out a rhinestone bracelet with two rhinestones missing. She looked at it, put it on her wrist, and started to weep. "What have I done? Oh, God, what have I done?" Before school started, after Christmas vacation, Mrs. Wilson went down to the office and looked up Timmy's records. On the record, she saw Timmy as a kindergarten student, very bright, very energetic. First grade, Timmy starts out brilliantly, does well. Second grade, Timmy does poorly. Mrs. Wilson goes back into the records again to see if anything is written down and discovers that between first and second grade, Timmy's mother has died of cancer. Timmy lives with his father. Mrs. Wilson looks at
thinks, closes the records and goes back to her classroom. She looks around as her classes file in, and they all sit where she had told them they'd be sitting all year, with Timmy in the back of the room. She thinks, it's a new year. I told them they'd sit this way for the year. So she has them all rearranged, and she says, children, it's a new year. We're going to sit differently today. Allison, Mary, Timmy, Jonathan, Andrew, and she keeps going with Timmy smack in the front of her desk. Recess time, she piles up her papers and she says, I feel so tired. Timmy, I need help. Would you stay in this recess and help me correct these math papers? And Timmy's face lights up. And Timmy stays in and helps correct math papers. This continues for the rest of the year. During at least one recess every single day, Timmy stays in and corrects math, spelling, reads something to the teacher because she's too busy to read it while she's correcting papers, and helps Mrs. Wilson. By the end of third grade, Timmy is now reading just as well as anyone else in the classroom. Timmy is doing math better than most in the classroom. And Timmy has a smile on his face, and Mrs. Wilson has showed him how to use the washing machine at the laundromat. Timmy is a happy young man. Mrs. Wilson goes home that year. Timmy goes home that year. She comes back to greet her third graders in the fall, but she quickly checks the fourth grade list. There's no Timmy. She finds out that Timmy's father has been moved to another construction site. She kind of loses track of Timmy over the years. She never forgets him, but she doesn't know where he is. And years pass, and Mrs. Wilson gets older, and one day a white business-like envelope appears in the mail, handwritten. And she opens it up, and on the inside, handwritten, is, Dear Mrs. Wilson, thought you would like to know. I graduated from high school with honors. Thanks to you. Love, Timmy. More years go by. 4 or 5 more years. She gets another envelope. This one's a square one. She opens this one and it's, Dear Mrs. Wilson, I'm graduating from college and going on. I have a full scholarship. I'm going to become a doctor. Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. Mrs. Wilson puts it down. She no longer teaches. She's retired. But she puts it in her Timmy file. A few more years pass. This time the envelope is very beautifully scrolled on the outside with calligraphy. Mrs. Wilson opens it up, opens another envelope, and discovers a wedding invitation. But down at the bottom it says, Mrs. Wilson, my father passed away last year. Mrs. Wilson, would you be my family? I am getting married, and you are the one I want to thank and be with too. Timmy. The story of Timmy. Mm-hmm. Now. Do you know what this is? Doesn't have an imagination, does she? No.
A magic wand.
This is a magic wand. And if you have this in your hand, it means you can tell stories. Anytime this is in your hand, you are the storyteller. And I'm going to start a story. And I'm going to hand it to somebody, and then they're going to hand it to somebody, and we're going to make one big story out of this group. And it's all going to be about the same thing, but it's all tied together. And see what kind of story we have at the end. And remember, our story is going to be on tape, so if you want to hear your story. Once upon a time, in the big, dark Cascade Mountains, there was a little village called Holden.
village was full of people who were searching and wondering what to do and how to do it.
And amongst all the people in the village, there was a little girl named Rachel. And Rachel was confused by the bell.
Sometimes the bell rang at funny times, like when I'm still sleeping. Why would the bell ring when I'm still sleeping? And sometimes it rang when there was no reason at all. I don't know why.
At home in village, there are some animals that come up and are not afraid. They dare to walk in front of people because they know we're not going to hurt them and that we are their friends.
When the bell rang, Rachel noticed lots of people running quickly. And she felt hungry, so she followed the people. And they went to a dining room with lots of food set out.
While Rachel was up on, was going into the dining room, she saw why the bell rang. Someone pulled that rope.
So in the dining room, Rachel was in the midst of all these happy people because everyone's happy when they go in the dining room. It means food. And she sat down in a group of children and she really enjoyed her dinner.
And then when she looked at her dinner, she said, "Mom, you've never made anything like that." "Well, please tell me what's in it." And her mother said, "I really don't know."
But her grandma was eating there with her, and she said, "That's okay, honey. I know where the snack bar is."
And so they went to the snack bar and had a root beer float, which satisfied Rachel a lot after the lunch that she didn't understand.
But Rachel kept thinking about that rope and how she could get a turn to pull that rope. And then she spent many days standing on the porch watching and waiting for her turn.
However, when she was waiting, there was someone from Narnia that said, "Why don't you come and play with us?" And that very first day, the person said, "We need someone to go and let the people know Narnia is starting." So Rachel was able to pull the rope.
The rope brought a lot of children around. Narnia was really fun. But the greatest thing that Rachel liked was when they went out in the back and saw the deer, the little ones.
They stood and watched the deer, and they were surprised that the deer could live so close to the people, and the deer got to wander around and eat the grass and didn't seem bothered by the people, except for when two little boys came along.
But the two little boys didn't know about the magic deer that came out only for the good little girls that ate all of their lunch and tried all the new experiences of Holden Village because they were brave and wanted to try new things. And the magic deer would let the little girl ride on them and fly through the air at night.
Wow. Rachel decided that she loved being at Holden experiencing all these new things, some that she understood and some that she didn't understand. But she decided that it was all just a little bit magical. She would love to come back.
Rachel's mother, Rachel's father, knew that they were at a safe place. And they had fun watching Rachel grow and get strong.
mother and father were most impressed with was how Rachel was learning about the stars. One night they were in their chalet and they heard these thundering little hiking wooden feet coming up the path. They thought, oh my goodness, some animal, the deer, maybe a bear, Rachel's really coming hard. She came tearing into the chalet, threw the door open and said, Mom, Dad, Orion is out. If Orion can show up here again at Holy Village, I know I can come back again someday. And I've done something that's very, very secretive and I'm not ever going to tell you. I only told my little animal friends. And to the animal friend, she said, I've taken this little comb and I've gone down over into the woods and I've buried it. And I know that someday I'm going to come back and I will unbury that comb. And I know I'll be older and I will understand some of these things better.
Awesome. Now, if your audience is a lot younger, and that will happen too. You can use anything for a magic wand. It doesn't need to be like this. My friend gave this to me because she works in our Science Discovery Center. As someone said, it's a flashlight. That's right. But the thing that I'll do is say, do you know the story of Billy Goat Gruff?
Yes.
And then I said, this is a magic wand, and you have to help me tell the story of Billy Goat Gruff. One time, there were three billy goats, right? And when you get the magic wand, you say what happened and hand it to somebody else to say what maybe happened next. Or I'll come around and take it from that person if it's, depending upon this audience. It might be, first, big billy goat looked out the window and he saw wonderful grass on the meadow on the other side of the bridge. And he said to his brothers, what did he say to his brothers? You take the magic wand. About that grass.
Is gonna cross the bridge
and eat some? Yes. He said, let's go eat some of that grass. So his brothers jumped out of bed and they went
and ate the grass.
Now your story can change. They went across the bridge and they ate some grass and they loved it. So now they had to come home across that bridge. And under the bridge there lived a troll. He wasn't there when they went in the morning. But when they came home, baby Billy Goat went across the bridge and went,
who's that tripping over my bridge?
It's just me. I'm a little Billy Goat Gruff.
I'm going to eat you up.
No, you aren't. There's a bigger Billy Goat coming soon.
Dear. And then the little billy goat scampered off the bridge.
How many billy goats are there? The second one said, he doesn't bother me. He's just a lot of hot air. And he turned and kicked some dirt right in his face so he couldn't see.
So then it was the big billy goat Gruff's turn to come across the bridge. And as he went trip, trap, trip, trap, the troll said to him,
I'm going to eat you up. And big billy goat Gruff says, I'm bigger and tougher than you are because I have been eating the good, nutritious, holding food.
And the grass on the other side of the fence is always greener.
Who was going to win? Looking at each other, and one of them had to speak.
And the troll bothered them no more. But what happened here? Now, which story, you as adults, did you find easiest? This, the first one, or one where there's an old script that you should really know?
The first one.
The first one. Because you can just let it flow and you can go with your imagination and you can go with whatever. And all of a sudden, you get pinned to just a little bit of a storyline, and it's much tougher for adults. Mm-hmm. Which one do you think is easiest for the little ones to begin with?
Something
for the second one. Because they know it, they have an idea of what comes. They might not be the same, but they can go with that idea, and it's much easier for the smaller ones with a little bit of a storyline that they've known. Well, folks, thank you so much for coming. And tomorrow we're working on creation and your writing or storytelling. And any of you that can come, I'd enjoy having you. So thank you.